My name's Mel Herbert, and he's Tom Wolfson. We're going to be talking about the cars, the batteries, the solar panel, the stock price, the man, the myth. We're going to be talking about everything Tesla. Why? Because we're talking Tesla. Hey, Talking Tesla people. Just got the email right now, so this is getting laid down on Tuesday at about 4:45 Pacific Standard Time. And it says, do you want to come to the Model 3 event? Well, we've put aside 650 spots that we're going to do a random draw for. So if you fill out this little email survey, give us your name, and we're going to put you into the drawing, which will be on March 16th, and we're going to tell you if you made it in on March 17th. And Tom got one as well, so we've got two chances to go to the Model 3 event. We're very excited. We're hoping to be able to come to you live from the Model 3 event on March 31st. Okay, Tomasina, it's Talking Tesla 25. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a great show. People like it.
What?
It's 25.
That's a quarter century of shows. We've been on the air for 25 years.
I like your math. Thank you. quick Tesla update. You're just about to tell me that the wife, who has the Model S, although we've said it's your S, it's not really your S, it's her S. She drives it most of the time. You drive it some of the time.
Yeah, she's supercharged.
And
she
was, how was the experience?
She did a cross-country road trip. I think her experience was okay. I'll be honest, I don't think she was completely thrilled with the having to stop for an hour of her time.
Where did she drive to?
She drove to the Las Vegas.
Yes.
And she had to stop at the Barstow supercharger.
Yes, which is about 150, 200 miles from here.
And the Prim supercharger.
Which is about 30 miles out of Vegas.
Right. So she stopped at the Barstow supercharger, and you can watch remotely people supercharging, like you can from your Tesla app.
Yes, you can on the app, you can see how fast it's going,
and you can see it start to ramp up. So when she first kind of plugged in, we were at like 254 amps and going 268 miles an hour.
Yep.
And it reached its peak at 316 miles per hour.
Like that.
Which is pretty good.
It's pretty good.
And it tells you, you know, how long to continue your trip and stuff like that. Although she was experiencing some less than reliable range data.
But it seems to learn. It's like, oh, okay, you actually drive at 85 miles an hour. I'm going to have to drop that down over time.
Right. So, but she was driving it. She claimed to be driving at 70, 75. So
I've found that after a while, it just seems to be, it's like not even accurate, spectacularly accurate, because it also does the data on whether you're going uphills and downhills, and when it says this is what your percent charge is going to be at the end of your trip. If you're consistent the way you drive, and I stick it on 70 or 75 and just, then it's really good. So I think it'll learn. We'll see. We'll get back to that.
Yeah, and maybe it just didn't know. It had never been to Vegas with this computer, you know, being reset at the factory. So it just didn't have any idea. So it got close a couple of times. So if you're a first timer out there and you're driving around, give yourself a little buffer when you're at the superchargers. Overcharge. If it says you got 4 minutes left, I don't know, stick around another 15 minutes and get a little more.
I think that's always the way.
That's some TT advice for you.
Talking Tesla.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to talk about the California high-speed rail, but I put in notes here, Tom.
Yeah.
Do the highlights. Most of our listeners are not in California, could give a
Do the highlights. Well, the highlights are it's moving forward. A lot of political capital was spent passing it.
Yes.
And a lot of political capital has been spent getting the right-of-ways.
I got a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
You got your high-speed rail.
Yeah.
If the Hyperloop people do their thing in the next year or so and they make it work, can they just go to the high-speed rail and say, hey, you know that train? This is a train. Call Hyperloop a train. Just call it a train. Can we use all of the work that you've done and all the can we just call it high-speed rail? It'll be really high speed, and just use that infrastructure that they've already set up and just build a Hyperloop instead of a train. Does it have to be a train?
It does not have to be a train. It has to go from LA to San Francisco in 2 hours and 30 minutes, and right now it's scheduled for 220. It has to be able to go X amount of miles per hour, and it does for most of it. The other major part about it is it has to be economically viable, which they have yet to prove.
Yeah, for $68 billion.
So, I mean, there's a lot of problems with it, but I think there's more problems, unfortunately, with the Hyperloop. So that's why, as you'll hear later in the show, the first places to get things like Hyperloop are not going to be the United States of America.
Oh, a little teaser, little teaser. Hey, I want to tell you about an accident, Tom.
Okay. Just like a normal car accident situation you want to talk about on the show?
Yeah.
Hold on, let me take a nap.
No, it's a good accent.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, it's a good one.
So you got, this is from The Independent in the UK, in fact, and it it shows the video of the Google car, the self-driving Google car, uh-huh. having a little crashy crash with a bit of a bus up there in the Northern California.
So there's a reporter that works for a UK online newspaper who's like, what the hell? I'm going to be the San Francisco bureau chief because I don't want to live here in the UK anymore. And he's now reporting on bus accidents in the Bay Area.
Have you been to England? It's very cloudy. San Francisco is very nice.
Oh, yeah, because it's not cloudy or cold in San Francisco.
Yeah, but
it's
San Francisco.
Right?
The food is so much better. It's just a nicer place. So this guy has the video, and it's really interesting. So it shows the Google car.
Uh-huh.
And as I understand it, there were some sandbags on the road. We talked about it last week. And it comes out, and the Google car said, I think that bus is going to slow down and stop for me because that's what you should do.
Uh-huh.
And the bus didn't, and they sort of have their crashy crash. Now, here's the important sort of updates from this, some stats. The average person crashes their car about once every 160,000 miles. Okay,
mm-hmm.
That's the average person. The average Google car now is crashing once every few million miles. So
that's better.
That is better. And so there's this insurance thing we got from Robert Rosenblum, who...
Bob. I call him Bob.
You call him Bob? No, I don't think it's Robert. Anyway, he got this little thing in their email that says, you know, autonomous vehicles, because they're safer, might actually result in a reduction in the amount of money you have to spend for your insurance.
Which would be amazing.
Which would be cool. It would be just another reason to get an autonomous vehicle. So the summary here is, so far, autonomous Google cars 5 to 10 times safer than human beings, maybe 20 to 100 times safer, and that might have some other down-the-line implications. One of the down-the-line implications is this.
What?
There is some ordinance that I'm not quite clear on that says that the federal government or the state governments can take away your license if you're shown to be a doofus driver.
Yeah, I believe it's the states who are in charge of that.
Somebody we know, a friend of a friend, just had their license taken away because...
Oh.
They keep crashing.
Do tell, off camera.
They keep crashing. This person is a little older and should have their license taken away. So it's been taken away. So under this ordinance, which I'm assuming is in a lot of states, you can't just go out in a car and crash all the time. Somebody's going to say, you can't drive anymore.
That's weird. That's weird. They won't allow that.
No, they won't allow that.
Yeah, they have points on driver's
license. This lawyer suggested this. If these cars, these Google cars... these autonomous vehicles are as safe as they appear to be, or are going to be as safe as they appear to be, 100 times safer than a human. They will reset the bar, and the state will say, humans, you can't drive anymore because you can do this transportation in this self-driving car. It's 100 times safer than you. That means you're 100 times less safe. Therefore, you can't drive a car. He was just extrapolating. Skynet's going to say, you can't drive anymore, Tom.
What about my freedom? What about my freedoms, Mel? My rights to drive?
You can still have a gun.
It's in the Constitution.
But you can't have a car.
Actually, it will free me up to drive and shoot because I'll be able to just like have my guns mounted on my autonomous vehicle and I'll just be able to shoot without having to worry about paying attention to what I'm doing.
See, well, I'm going to get to that in 1 second. I really like that because there's another.
Do you really?
Yeah, I like that idea.
That is insane.
No,
that
I like the way. I like the way you're going. I think it's good. So Robert sent us another one. This is also from the UK Mail. Robert, where are you right now? You in the UK? Everything you send us is from the UK. So he said that maybe Titan is coming to Apple stores soon. So there's this guy called James Reach.
Story has holes all over it, by the way.
Yes, it does. And he's at the Oaks Mall Apple store, and it says it's closing for a few days, and they're remodeling, and they're making it much bigger. And the guy jokingly said, oh, is that because you're going to have the new Titan car in here as well?
Yeah.
And nobody denied it. So this guy said, see, there's the evidence that they're actually going to start showing Titan cars in the Apple store. And like you, I thought, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I would like to apologize to our listeners that you even brought this shit up, to be honest with you. This is the most ridiculous story ever. Okay, so I don't know. Maybe our listeners haven't been to Thousand Oaks. Let's call it not a city center. Let's call it not a main place to launch a massive product line. Also, let's look at it from the perspective of some guy working at the Apple store. We're going to be closing for a little while because, you know, we're going 3 times bigger, maybe for a car that has yet to be announced.
Yes.
A manufacturing factory that's yet to be built.
Yes.
And in a center in a place in the suburbs of Los Angeles that could not be more hidden. This makes zero sense, and yes, we've wasted people's time even talking about it.
Hey, but at least we've cut it off. Just in case this became a meme that would spread throughout the internet that the Titan Apple car is covered to $1,000, we stopped it right
Tim Cook's in his office like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to open secret store in Thousand Oaks, only for top secret employee.
Did he become a Russian criminal?
I don't know, because this has like stupid mastermind written all over. It's so ridiculous. This is a ridiculous. Did I say ridiculous enough?
Look, I just want to talk about self-driving cars. Look, people are worried about the self-driving
cars.
More
self-driving cars?
Because, you know, it's going to result in a reduction in the number of cars that you need to manufacture by a factor of a hundredfold. And I was thinking, but it creates new opportunities.
Yeah.
Just think, I don't have to drive.
Mm-mm.
The new things you could do in your car.
What?
I put down here a couple.
Uh-huh.
Like you could do all your conferencing in the car instead of that 30-minute commute.
Uh-huh.
You just start your conference calls and you just start chatting with people. You're not driving, you don't care.
That's great.
There's a lot of opportunities within education.
Uh-huh.
I can really start to learn stuff.
Get
I can
some
do my
students
car
in there,
academies.
Like teach algebra.
Yeah, you could probably teach some students. That's not what I was thinking, but that's a great idea. There'd be new apps for relaxation. The commute to work, instead of being stressful now, you put on the music or you...
There's an aromatherapy button on Tesla.
I like it. Everything. And then you suggested, though, you can practice your shooting
yes.
with your guns.
You could have your shooting in there.
They could put along the freeways things to shoot at, skeet shooting as you're going.
You could like...
It's a great idea.
You could have like a mobile iPhone repair thing. So you're driving around in your Tesla repairing
people's
iPhone
screens.
You just
drive up next to them
and
they hand it to you. The opportunities here are incredible. It's a little bit like the Disney cartoon I saw years ago when one of the ducks got stuck on the freeway for years. And so what he decided to do
one of the ducks?
I can't remember which duck. And he opens up this little side cafe thing that sells hot dogs for people that are lost on the freeway. It was a whole thing.
One of the ducks?
One
like
of the ducks.
Donald Duck? Or like one of the little nephew ducks?
I can't remember.
There's like one
it was
main
50
duck.
Years ago. I was watching TV.
I think it was just the one duck. Donald, I believe, is his name.
He's one of the ducks.
He's the one that wears the jacket but no pants.
I know, that's weird, isn't it? Wow.
It's him and Winnie the Pooh, same deal.
Walking around with their wieners hanging out, except they don't even have wieners. It's weird. That always
well,
disturbed
I mean, they
me
do
as a
have
kid.
Wieners, but they're ducks, dude. They're hidden behind the feathers.
That used to freak me out as a kid. Like, that guy's got no pants
Show
on.
So stupid. What the hell is wrong with that?
Oh my gosh. All right, let's now talk about the Vegas Power Utility.
This made me mad.
Well, it made me mad initially, and then I sort of got it. So here is,
this is
from Wired Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, look, there's all these big hotels on the Vegas Strip.
Yeah.
They use a lot of energy. 15 properties on the Vegas Strip use 7 to 10% of Nevada's energy.
Right.
They're using a lot of energy. So Mandalay Bay, for example, is opening up the largest rooftop solar installation in the U.S.
20 acres.
MGM is putting up a solar array that's big enough to power 1,000 homes, and they're converting to LEDs. And then the utility, the Vegas utility, is freaking out and say, you got to pay us to get off the grid. Pay us for this. Pay us. Pay the man. And initially I was like, this is BS.
It is bull.
You guys are going to stop this.
Uh-huh.
But then I thought, well, it is true that
why?
If masses of people start to get off the grid and the utilities start to lose all that money, they still have to keep the grid going. We still need that backup. So how do we fund that? And they're saying you got to pay into the system so that we can have a grid. Because if you all leave, we have no money for a grid. And
it's a free market system.
No, it's not really. It is,
well,
but
it
isn't.
These are for-profit companies, right?
Yeah,
these
but
are
you got to pay for your infrastructure. I think Obama said it best. You didn't build that.
Right, but if they're not using it, that's like if you had – this is a situation, right? So let's say you invest $150,000 of your own dollars in solar on your house.
Yes.
And the DWP is like, you got to give us $50,000 to get off grid. That's
No, I agree. You can't have it that much. But the people
but this,
are –
Dude,
I think
it's $126 million they're asking these these 15 properties to spend, and most of these 15 properties are owned by three companies. So
it's
we're talking about a sizable amount of money. Okay.
It's too much. I agree.
It decelerates. So what happens, and I understand that they're going to want to pass this on to consumers, but it's the Public Utilities Commission that's doing this. But the company is NV Energy, which is a private company private companies, sometimes mistakes happen. Sometimes markets change. The guy who owned Horse and Buggies, did he have Ford give him $100 million when they were like, we're going to start using these internal combustion engines? It's bull. In my opinion, that's bull. Well, that's kind of bullshit, in my opinion.
I love your passion. And I didn't realize it's a private company. But I just wanted to bring up the point that we are going to have to deal with this as people have distributed energy. They're making their own energy,
yeah.
But they can't make it all. So you still have to have a backup grid. How are those utilities, government or private, how are they going to maintain that grid if they're losing big funding sources? We're going to have to find another way to say this is like the roads, this
right.
is like the schools. They should be funded from public dollars for the grid.
Different because they're making a profit, right? There's no profit in roads.
Right. I agree. I don't think they should be private. I think it should be public utilities.
Right. Well, there's a public utilities commission, but the company is private. So for these Vegas properties, one of the big reasons that they wanted to do this and to have solar, A, was to save money, but B was a lot of groups, conventions, right, want to be green and they want to yes. go to places that are green. So then it becomes a competition between other cities and states for those green conference businesses, and if they don't have the rooftop solar, then those companies aren't going to go there. It allows the big conventions to market that a little bit more, so it becomes a net benefit for the state.
My summary is we have to align the incentives. People should have incentives to put on solar. Utilities should have incentives to let us do that, and we need to find a way around it. So if you've got a private company who's selling your electricity, they don't want you to have your own electricity, but I want my own electricity. I also want a grid, so yes, that's a good point. As a company, I want 100% solar, and I put that on the sort of marketing thing. We've got 100% solar yeah. studios and stuff. And if I was completely 100% off the grid except for times of backup, I would have no problem paying some reasonable fee to still be attached to the grid. That's all I'm saying. I'll make my own, and I don't mind paying some reasonable fee or reasonable tax to be on the grid, but I'm not going to get raped so that I can keep some other private company going.
But what if you bought one of those big solar Tesla utility batteries?
Well, this is what
right?
will happen is that what they risk is actually, if this kind of stuff continues, is that the big companies, small companies will say, okay, you want to do that? Turn off the grid. I don't care. And they'll do this. This will generate right. a huge amount of industrial strength battery backup stuff for individual companies to say, I'm right. not dealing with you anymore. I mean, would have dealt with you a little bit. You want to rape me? Not going to happen.
Right.
If you put too many barriers between technology right. and businesses, they will go around you.
Right. When the planet is on fire because of CO2 emissions, is the Nevada Public Utilities Commission going to be like, you guys have to pay extra for the free fire that's now warming your neighborhoods?
Model 3, Tom?
Trace.
Model Trace, is that an American word?
No, I don't know what that word is.
Clean Techna. How do I can never pronounce it.
Clean Technica.
Thank you.
It's not really that difficult.
Tom's here to read for me. They have a little article here that says in 2015, the average car price in the US was $33,500. That the Model 3 should be under that, particularly with the current state and federal incentive programs.
$10,000 in California total.
So the low-end Tesla should come in significantly lower than the average price of a US car. And if you put in some nice fun things into your car, somewhere around that $33,000, they say, because it's also got feel-good technology, because it should get over 200
feel
miles.
Feel-good technology? What
people,
is that?
People like to feel like they're saving the planet.
Oh, I see. It doesn't make you feel good. It's just
if it gets over 200 miles, which they say it's going to, and the fact that people in the US drive less than 40 miles a day and just over 200 miles per week, it's going to be huge, huge. And then there's a little survey that they show in here, and I wanted to show people how smart Tom is, because Tom has been saying for weeks, if not months, perhaps years.
25 years for the whole run of this show, the last 25 years.
Last 25 years. He said that supercharging is the key. So if you look at what consumers want, the biggest thing that they say that they want, and it says here, how much more would you be attracted to a fully electric car if you had access to the supercharge network? And 65% of people said they would be hugely interested.
Of course they would.
In a Tesla if that Model 3 has access to the supercharged
network. I mean, it's kind of stupid because what? People are going to be like, you know what? I'd like to sit around for hours waiting for my car to charge. I mean, that's not even realistic. They also asked them how much they'd be willing to pay. Part of this was, would you like access to the supercharging network if one gets built? If for a one-time cost of $2,000. So would you be willing to invest in this network as an early adopter to be able to expand the network, I'd give them $2,000. If I could use the supercharger in my RAV and they were every 75 miles, then I would be good. I really don't understand why the supercharging – well, I guess I do on some levels – why the supercharging has to ramp down once you get to a certain amount of your battery life. That's the one thing that kind of bummed me out. It like definitely slows down after it gets to about 70%, I would say.
Well, our battery expert talked about that on the program some time ago, saying as you get closer to the top, then it gets – there's a lot of heat and stuff, so they have to slow it down. So you can do between 20% and 80% really fast.
Yeah.
But when you want that extra top up, if you're on a big long drive, that last 20% is going to take a lot longer. You've got to slow it way down. One more thing on supercharging here, Tom. We've been saying, where the heck are all the 100% solar supercharging stations? There's really only one that's 100% supercharging, and that's in Rockland, California, near Sacramento. Woohoo! So they have a huge array, and here they have the other things we talked about last week as well. They got a little store. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
They have a Tesla store.
And yeah, so they've got a showroom and a little store, it sounds like. So that's pretty cool.
In case almost you want to buy a second Tesla while you're waiting for your Tesla to charge.
Like, I need a Diet Coke gum. Oh, and I need another car. You got one?
I need one of those golf bags or leather Tesla suitcases.
They've got a lot of Tesla crap.
But I had a question about this for you, and I know we've done the math. Are these just publicity situations? Like, how big? We decided that you needed a lot of solar to charge a car even one time.
Yeah.
So what are these things actually – what are they actually able to do as far as charging a car? Like, how much – are they able to charge a car for a day of
thing? Well, it depends how big an array you have.
It looked big.
They didn't say how huge it was, but you need a – we've gone through it. You need a pretty big array.
Right. So is this all for show? And this is the reason why they aren't everywhere, right? Because it's not cost effective, because basically it charges two cars a day, three cars a day, let's say, to full power.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little – this feels like it might be more about like the show of it than the reality
of
it.
I think they should be showing. I agree. The size of an array you need, and we could do the math. So I did do the math, and I was sort of surprised at how much area you need to do a significant number of cars charging at about 50%. So then I went on to the Tesla forum, where there's a lot of smart people who also have done the math. And let me summarize it this way. If you had a supercharger that was pretty busy, let's say it was charging two cars every hour, and they were charging half full, so like 40 or 50 kilowatt hours, 24 hours a day, how big a canopy would you need to do all of that on solar energy? And the answer is you'd need something around the size of a quarter acre or like an American football field of area to do that. And that is way more than you get just by having sort of a sun canopy over those same number of cars, let's say 6 or 10 stalls and a sun canopy, and you put solar panels on there. That is nowhere near enough solar panels to collect the energy you need to do about 50 cars, 50% charge per day. So you need a much bigger array. So you need to spread that array over the parking lot that's around there or in the paddock next door, because you can't do it just in the solar canopy that you're getting your shade from. So it's much bigger than that. Again, very dependent on where you are, how many cars, the amount of sunlight per day, but it gives you an idea that the surface area is way more than you get out of just the shade solar arrays that some people have in their place or some commercial places have. You need much more than that. These cars require a lot of energy, and if you have a lot of cars coming through sucking up a lot of energy, you need a big, big array to do 100% replacement. And if you want to go to our website and check out a little video I made, you can check my math. You can look for yourself at talkingtesla.net. All right, Teslarati is, we love those guys. They have this analyst here, and it's from Global Equities analyst Trip Condroy, or something like that. Chowdhury.
And I've heard, there's some things about Trip. He's not correct a lot of times. He was an Apple analyst.
Oh, really?
He kept making a lot of errors on his little suggestions of things Apple was going
to
do.
We're not here to fact check.
Yeah, no, we're not.
Look, the Model 3 is going to be huge. Here is his reasons. One, it's going to be made out of steel and not aluminum.
Nope.
Steel is a lot easier to use. It's a lot cheaper to build. The people who know how to bend steel come at a less price than the people who know how to bend aluminium or aluminum, as you say in this country.
Yeah.
They're going to use higher density batteries. And so he puts all this together and he says that means that they're actually going to get it done on time. They're going to get it done cheaper. And the Model 3 will be a success, according to Tripp, who's always wrong. Not always wrong. That is slanderous.
I don't believe
it. In Tom's opinion, he is often wrong.
Yeah, I don't I don't believe it. And you know why we don't say aluminium?
I know. It's I was doing stupid. It for the international audience. You know, when I first came to this country, Tom, 25 or plus years ago, I was having an argument with somebody about you're supposed to say aluminium, it's not aluminum. And then the young man that I was having the argument with grabbed a Diet Coke and it says on the side there, aluminium. He goes, now sound it out, Mike. Aluminium. No, sound it out. And when you sound it out, Australians, it is not aluminium. It is aluminum.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, sound that word out. Why did we add 15 extra syllables? I don't know.
I don't think it was you.
It wasn't
I
me.
I think it was your forebears in England.
It was my forest bearers. All right.
Forest bearers. Google. I don't believe this aluminum thing because aluminum cars are lighter.
Yeah.
They already have a lot of manufacturing expertise in aluminum over at Tesla. Uh-huh. It feels like they'd be reinventing the wheel on some levels.
It's expensive and it's hard to bend.
But why would you want to make your cars heavier if the ideal is smaller batteries, more range, right? So what costs more, more expensive, heavier battery – or aluminum
I don't
cars.
Know, Tom, but, right, I know but I bet you they do. Aluminum is very expensive. Steel is very cheap, and there's new forms of steel that aren't as heavy as the old forms of steel. Maybe Tripp's onto something here.
Maybe.
I'm just saying. He's
Tripp,
an analyst.
We're pulling for you, Tripp.
He's an analyst.
We'll find out. Will they be like, basically, it's in a steel car?
All right. Yeah, we made this one out of steel. Wow.
Check it out. It's high-tech steel.
That's cool.
And we're also building it in Detroit because that's where all the steel workers are.
Interesting.
Right?
Not going to happen.
No.
Google AI. All right?
Nerd alert. Nerd alert.
Here we
Nerd
go.
Nerd alert.
There's this thing called the Deep Mind Project. This
of course there is.
Google's attempt to make sort of the Watson-like computer that's smarter than the whole planet. Well, there's this little game called Go, and Go is an ancient Chinese game which is supposedly like 3 to 1,000 times harder than chess. It has so many different possibilities, and so the AI people like to use Go and to compete with Go experts to see how good their computer is. So there's this guy called Lee
Sedol.
He's the world champion. He's the world Go master champion.
What do you think he makes as the world's Go master champion?
No, like,
what do you think that pays?
A lot of bucks. A lot of dollars. I have no idea. But guess what?
Yeah.
He just got done in by Google 3-0.
Skynet beat him?
Yeah. It's a little bit concerning. It's so concerning.
Is it? Are you really concerned about it? Did you lose sleep over it?
No, not really. But Elon Musk's concerned, and he's smarter than me. He's saying, like, the only way to protect us against AI is that everybody has some. So get yourself some AI or
everybody does have some already.
Well, he's really concerned. It's like if it's just Google AI, if it's this person's AI, you got to get some AI to fight against the AI. I don't really know what he means.
If it's IBM's AI versus Google's AI, they're going to like battle each other out. So this is what will happen, right? Google's AI and IBM's AI will get into the network together and they'll start battling for AI supremacy and what? And then one of them will win, and then they'll turn on Skynet, and it'll be over, and we'll get more Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
So he said he's created this open AI movement, a nonprofit organization whose goal is to disseminate information about developments of AI so that no one person, no one corporation, no one group, or one nation dominates this field.
Yeah, they're not going to have any, they're going to make all of their patents available to the public, this organization of AI. So none of us should be concerned at all that this group of super rich people have decided to really focus everything on this open source AI to see if they can get it moving faster because, you know, rich people have never changed their mind midstream and been like, you know what, never mind, we're gonna keep this for ourselves.
Rich people? Do the
rich
right
people.
Thing. All right, Singapore charges 15,000 in CO2 surcharges for the Tesla. What the heck is this? They rated the Tesla as not that green.
Right, so they do the math based on how much fossil fuels it takes to charge a Tesla, and it seems like they may have gotten the math wrong initially. So some Tesla owner got, instead of getting some money back from Singapore for buying a Tesla, got a bill for $15,000, and so they're working on it. Tesla's like, I think your math may have been a little bit wrong. I don't know. Do you work for the Singapore Math and Engineering Department?
You'd think Singapore is supposed to be so good at math. But when they went through it, when Tesla went through it.
Is that a thing that Singapore's known for? Math?
They're known for being good at math.
Okay.
Good school system, excellent at math, always up on the top of the world.
In math?
In math and science.
When
Tesla looked at it, they said, we think you're off by a factor of four.
Yeah, at least half. They think it's at least neutral. So there's this whole chart that says, you know, CO2 per kilowatt hours, blah, 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 blah. And they think the Tesla on its best day falls in the, we don't owe you any money, you don't owe us any money, walk away. But a lot of people were like, no, I want $6,000 or $7,000 or $10,000. So it's really hard to know. Again, I don't know what Singapore is making most of its energy with.
Burning babies or something. What?
I don't think that's an energy source. Like, burning babies, dirty. Really.
Think of the dirtiest thing you could burn. So babies. That's what they make their energy.
Everybody in Singapore has now unsubscribed to the Talking Tesla podcast. Okay. He didn't mean babies.
Stop burning babies or whatever to make your electricity.
No, edit.
All right. I don't care about Singapore. I don't care about anybody else. I care about me, Tom.
Oh, my God.
So, I care about me. So I've got to tell you something.
Seriously.
What's the greatest thing that could happen to me?
Now,
to me.
Talking Tesla Nation. I'm going to call you that. Talking Tesla Nation. About midweek this week, I got an email forwarded from Mel Herbert. It was from Tesla. And I'm just gonna say it. I'm gonna say it for you because you're very, very excited right now. This is the first sentence of this email. We have good news for you. Your Model X will be built at the end of this month and is on track for an April, May delivery. Now,
yes, baby! It's coming up finally after years.
The question
years
is
years I've been waiting for it to years, Tom and that Bill.
And then the next paragraph, thank you for your patience as we've taken a little extra time, two effing years.
Yeah, a little extra time.
To ensure your Model X meets the highest standard of qualities. And then for the last couple of months, we've held back our production rate to check and recheck every part. So this is the weirdest email ever. Like if you really start to analyze this, they're like, you know, we built them, and then we really wanted to check them, so we stopped building them for a little while. And
read between the lines. The kept breaking. We had to go back and retool it.
This is fascinating. It's a fascinating message for something that you have literally waited 2.5 years. They're like, we really hope this one is working. You're going to get it in May. Let us know. We're just not sure.
I'm so excited about this email, but it is so funny to read the political correctness. Instead of just saying, this was hard to build, we kept breaking. And it took us longer than we thought. They passed out. We really wanted you to have a good experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you better. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. It also says Elon has been test driving it. So I don't know.
Mine?
If like, is he really just sitting at the end of the line in like a, it, I don't know, like an Eames chair waiting for one to get done. And then he just drives it around Fremont. And then he gets out and comes back and waits for the next one to come off. Like, is he just literally test driving every one of them?
One thing we do know, if you're not nice to Elon, Tom, you should shut up right now. Yeah. He will pull the plug on my ex if you're not nice, okay? And I'll want it.
He can't pull the plug on your ex
if he's done it before.
But we've talked to him about it. We've told him to stop. So last week we said he had to have listened to us.
Well, this email came from John McNeil, who's the president of Global Sales and Service.
Yay.
Thanks, John.
Ooh, Mel's getting his ex.
I cannot wait
to drive at 110 miles an hour. You know what I'm really most excited for? And I know a few of our listeners have invited us out to drive their cars. I'm excited to drive the autopilot.
Me too.
Features of your car.
Very excited.
I'm very excited.
I've been watching
a lot
of videos recently about the autopilot, and it looks better than I thought. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Can't wait to smoke cigarettes and start drinking heavily and being totally distracted.
You can't smoke in your car because Mary won't allow it, and you can't drink because you still can't be drunk in the car.
That you sure? Pretty sure that's what it says.
I'm pretty sure. But I do have a question about that. That does bring up an interesting point. There used to be, when I was a kid, if you were in your car drinking, right, and you didn't have your key, like let's say you parked at a park,
yeah,
and you were in your car drinking, but you didn't have your keys in the car, you were okay, uh-huh, because then the car wasn't on. I don't know if this is true or not, if I'm just, this is teenage mythology. Yeah. But if all these cars don't have keys to plug in, so really anytime you're in the car, and the Tesla will basically turn itself on if you, uh-huh, get in it. So if you're in the back, you have to be in the back seat drinking your six pack of Mickey's Big Mouths to not get in trouble for drinking in your car. Like, what if you're not intending on driving? You're just literally hanging out in your very comfortable Tesla, having a six pack with your best pal. In the back of your car.
What you're saying is, and I agree with you, Tom, I know where you're going here, and we've talked about it right at the beginning. Just tell me the point at which I could start drinking on the way to work.
Right.
Tell me when that happens in the autonomous vehicle, because that's, yeah, what we all want. We all want to be able to have a six-pack in our car on, yeah, the way to work. Thank you, Tom.
And on the way to work. And we're also going to need
The way home as well. I'm not being
gonna
stupid.
We're going to need a lot more cup holders to hold all the cups, because it's like a Tesla bar.
What? Where is it? I was going to talk about cup holders. All right.
It's,
I was going
to
finish
the
there.
Top. It's
all right.
Ridiculous.
Here we go. Cup holders. I missed it. Look, I just want to say this, Tom. Here's why I'm excited about the X. Everybody knows that here in America, we love a good cup holder or 20. And that the S had very few cup holders and they weren't good.
Uh-huh.
But the good news is that the cup holders in the X are huge and a variable size. And I'm getting a $100,000 car for the cup holders.
You know what? It's a bummer that the S only has two cup holders. But let's be clear. I don't give a shit anymore. People stop complaining that your $100,000 car only has two cup holders. It's you. And your passenger, if you have more than one beverage, get one of those little cardboard trays when you go through McDonald's, one to hold your, you know, like you got your McFlurry and your McCafe and your Diet Coke and your Sprite. They'll give you a little cardboard tray.
That's a lot of fluids.
To hold that. Shut the up already with the cup holders. And you know what? Beep.
Is that the show title?
And maybe.
Shut the beep up with your cup holders?
Maybe. That's not too bad, actually.
We call it that.
Now, I don't know if you knew this. My car has three cup holders. My Model S has three cup holders because the third row seat, turns out, has its own cup holder. And oddly enough, has a round cup holder and then a little square rectangular thing just attached to it, which I'm pretty sure is for a juice box or maybe some raisins.
That is so cute. Oh, they think of everything.
They do. Oh, Elon's like, but my kids love juice boxes. And I know that's not his. I don't.
He's South African kid. Look, South more African kids. They
my
love
kids, my kids like the juice box.
They
like
the juice boxes. And I'll put them in the back.
Yeah.
Because you're not allowed to have juice box in the front.
Tesla Nation, shut the F up about the cup holders already. I don't care.
Hey.
I hope.
Let's end it.
Okay.
We've gone too long.
We've gone too far.
We'll talk to you next. When?
Love you a long time.
When are we going to talk to them?
Next week.
So exciting to do it weekly.
Have you noticed one thing about this show since it's gone weekly in the last couple of weeks? Not that it sucks, is that we still go over
time.
We,
I know.
There's so much out there. Let's do it daily. Let's have a daily Tesla show. A half hour every day. We'll do it unedited. We'll bleep. I cursed a lot today, by the way, and I don't understand why, because it's not my jam normally.
You're bringing you down.
So that was that was a good show.
Hey. See you later, Tom.
Love you, Mel.
Bye-bye.
Getting an X. We're getting an X. We're getting an X.
Why?
Because we're
talking.
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 Talking
Tesla.